and you reign victorious in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness and your grace. Thank you for your blessings and your miracles on this day. And God, we thank you, God, for everyone that is here tonight, Lord God. We thank you for everyone on the conference line tonight, Lord God. Father, we thank you that they will be blessed, Lord God, that they are ready to receive. Say, I'm ready to receive.
I'm ready to receive.
A word from God.
A word from God.
I'm ready to receive.
I'm ready to receive.
A word from the Lord.
A word from the Lord.
Well, good, 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 because I have one for you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I am Pastor Adam. I'm married to the lovely Miss Tammy Harris, New Seed Ministries. Hallelujah. And we just thank God for you. Yeah, we started our Bible studies about 3 years ago in the dining room at the table. And we've since then, in last of November, launched out for our official Sunday services. We are licensed and ordained to do what we do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So no more bootlegging for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So Tuesday night Bible study here, New Seed Ministries. And tonight we're going to continue with our message from Sunday, the promised child, or the children of promise, the children of promise. And I just want you to know and understand, you're born again, you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light for a purpose, because you are his child.
Yeah.
And he speaks promises over you, blessings over you. Can I get that fan back?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So how do you know that you're a child of promise? How do you know? How do you know? How do you know? Well, number one, you're constantly seeking time with God, and you don't mind spending time with the people of God. Yeah, you're after God's own heart. You're seeking him. You like to get in his word. See? You like to hear from him. You like to turn on the TV and don't just go to sports, or don't just go to reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
You'll stop by TBN or Daystar, one of those places where you know that the word's going to come across. See? You like to start your mornings with the word. Amen? Yeah. You're also concerned about people and their state and their conditions of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You're not just concerned about yourself. You're concerned about other people's souls and their well-being, their children. You're compassionate. See? You become a student of the Father's book.
Mm-hmm.
You love the Word of God. This is how you know you're a child of the promise. And number four, you enthusiastically support ministry with your time, with your attendance, with your helps, even with your finances. See, regular ongoing support that stores up for you treasures in heaven. See, these are just characteristics of who you've already been or who you desire to become. See, you're a child of promise. Now, that child of promise, there's some stuff in it. We're going to get into it tonight. But before we get into that, faith is. Somebody say faith is.
Faith is.
Faith is. This is the segment that we do to start on every single service. I'm just going to give you two, since I just gave you about the child of promise. Amen. Number one, faith is staying patient. Faith is staying patient. Patience is to find something else to do while you are waiting for the thing you believe in God for. Faith is staying patient. And patience is to find something else to do while you're waiting for the thing that God has promised. So like once you sow a seed into the ground, it doesn't matter what kind of seed you've sown, just let it be a good seed. Matter of fact, let it be some new seed. When the seed is sown, if you're a good farmer, do you stand out there in the field all summer long until the thing comes up?
No.
Or do you go find something else to do? So it is with whatever you believe in God for. Once you have prayed, you've asked the Lord, once you've sown toward a thing, if you believe in God to close on a house, if you believe in God to heal your marriage, if you believe in God to get married, if you believe in God for a child, once the seed is sown, don't stand there at the field watching and waiting, because you'll get frazzled. You'll become a nervous wreck. The enemy will play with your mind. So go find something to do. Go do something. Find something good to do. Be whatever. You get my point.
Yeah.
And faith works through patience. And let patience have its perfect work. So when it is complete, you'll be entire. You'll be lacking nothing. Hallelujah. And your faith will have increased and you won't be crazy. Amen. Number two, faith is not worrying, but trusting and believing with confidence. Faith is not worrying, but trusting and believing with confidence. Somebody say confidence.
Confidence.
Okay. Now, when I was writing this and the Lord's opened in my spirit, I could easily say faith means don't worry. Stop worrying. But if you don't have confidence that you already have the victory, that the thing has already come to pass, if you don't have a great hope or expectation, if you don't have any boldness about the thing you're praying for, you're believing for, you might get upset and you might miss this victory. So act like you are the person that is deserving and is worthy of this thing that God is doing on your behalf. Be confident about it. Tell somebody about it. Oh yeah, it could cause you to be subject to ridicule, but that's what faith does. If I told you that I'm believing for God to cause New Seed Ministry to be a $5 million ministry, I'd be confident, shouldn't I? Or should I shrink back? Now, we ain't got that now. We just got started. I don't know how long it's going to take, but the seed is now planted. The word has been sent. I'm not going to stand around and watch and wait for it to manifest.
Amen.
God is bringing the increase.
Right.
He's bringing it to pass. He, God. He said, ask what you will. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. See? And faith, yet again, works through patience. That's the way it works. That's all of our faith is for this week. I know you want another one, but I'm not going to give it to you till Sunday. So come on Sunday. We've got another faith is for you. The Lord bless you with some really, really good ones. Many of we have even got, might even be a faith is book one day, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Promise of a child. It's our first segment on tonight. Promise of a child. Promise of a child. You're children of promise. This is promise of a child. And in Jeremiah chapter number 29, in verse 11, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." See, it gives you an expected end. So if he's confident about this promise he's spoken over you, shouldn't you be excited?
Yes.
Should you be fired up? Shouldn't you be just at the edge of your seat with anticipation? He's giving you some clues. I know the plans that I have for you, Shaquanta.
Yeah.
They are plans for good and not evil. God wants to do you good all the days that you live on the earth. If you're alive right now in Christ, you ought to be living. His plans for you are good. His purpose for you is good. His will over your life is good. The words he speaks over you are good. Anything else is of the devil. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And Matthew chapter number 18, starting in verse number 1, New Testament. And I'm reading from the New King James Version, Matthew chapter number 18. Hope you got your jogging shoes on with this word of God in your hand. And verse 18 said, "And the disciples, at that time the disciples came to Jesus, saying, Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become like a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." See, no matter how old you get, chronologically, naturally, or how old you get in the gospel, you've been saved now 5 years, 6 years, 15 years, 20 years, some of us. What Jesus say about you? "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted, being transformed by the renewing of your mind, converted, and become as a little child, come as children." See, children have this thing about them, their curiosity. They always just have the imagination. They're looking for something good to happen. They are creative. Are you creative? Are you a child of God? Do you have ideas? Does he show you visions and dreams? Does he show you things to come? Does he wake you up in the morning or in the wee hours and want to talk to you? Huh? Do you wake him up? You know how little children are? 3 and 4 and 5 years old, mom and daddy sleep. Doesn't matter what time it is, does it? If that child won't talk to you, they come and knocking on the door, mommy, daddy, you know, whatever it is. I can't sleep. They won't talk. They want a fellowship. They want to get in your presence. How about you? Can you come as a little child and seek the Father and ask him about your life, your destiny, your future? Ask him how long this thing is going to take you walking through. Okay? And let him speak to you. Let him encourage you. You're his child. I'll just confirm for you. I have never breathed life into any human being. Not even CPR. I haven't molded or shaped any living creatures. But God did. See? But he called me to be a messenger. He called me to be a good shepherd. So I'm just going to simply give you what the Lord is giving me for you to grow, to develop, and to change. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And starting in verse number 7. It says, little children, let no one deceive you. Yes, there are some people out in the world that desire to deceive you. Yes, ladies, there are some men that would love to deceive you and take from you something that does not belong to them. Matter of fact, it don't even belong to you. Oh, that woman's right to choose. Really? Really? Who made you? Whose child are you? Huh? Who's the one that owns the heavens to enter you into, or the hell to cast you away to? See? So, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. You want to know a good guy, a good man, a good woman, a good lady? Check out their walk. Are they practicing what they preach? If he says he believes in God, is he practicing it? Is he practicing righteousness? Is he practicing attending church services? Is he practicing prayer? Is he practicing worshiping the Lord? Or he just believe in God, but he leave Jesus out? But see, the Bible said that even demons believe in God and they fear and tremble. See, Jesus showed up on the scene one day, and this man and his demons just started screaming out, Jesus, what have we to do with you? Don't come messing with us. Leave us alone. Jesus hadn't even opened his mouth. He just showed up on the scene. But they knew who he was. They knew who he was. Verse 8 says, he who sins is of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. See? If you're a child of God, you're one of the children of promise. You have Jesus as your advocate. And guess what he just said he has already done on your behalf? He's destroyed the works of the devil, the schemes, the plots against your life. Do you hear what I'm saying? And no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You live this life that God has given you, and you walk in this blessing that you have. You live according to the covenant that was made through the shed blood of Jesus on your behalf. You live up to it. And you are protected, because he came to destroy the works of the devil. But whoever has been born of God does not sin. For he who sins remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are made manifest. Now, what are we saying? If you continue to sin, you manifest who child you are. If you continue to live righteous and be just and live by faith, you manifest. Whose child are you? You're a child of God. But if you continue in sin, okay, It gets to a point when you're walking with the Lord, when you're living for God, you get bored with sin. Been there, done it. Done it 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. Same result each time. Is there anything new under the sun when it comes to sin? Huh? You go doing something that looks like fun, is very alluring, very tempting, very exciting. Okay, you get your satisfaction in for a moment. And it's so fleeting that after the satisfaction is over, all of a sudden, here it comes. The guilt, the shame, the condemnation. Over and over and over again. I've been addicted. I could say I have addictive personality if I don't watch myself. Do you hear what I'm saying? But once I figured out the pattern, so I'm not going to do that. So I coined the phrase, quit doing things that don't work. Okay? If it makes you cry every time you get into this argument with this person, just stop arguing. Okay? If you feel guilty because you just ate too much food at the buffet again, and now you're trying to get that belt closed, Brother Willie, and it won't close, quit doing things that don't work. Because if you continue to do it, you're just going to manifest the results of who you are. Or you can profess how much you're going to save money. But if you're always out at Ross shopping, you're contradicting your confession. See? So stop contradicting this promise that God gave you, which is the victory. Okay? I'm not going to meddle. I could say something. I'm not saying it. I'm going to say what the Lord tells me to say is what I'm going to say in this moment. Hallelujah. Turn with me, please, to Ephesians chapter number 3. Book of Ephesians chapter 3. And we're continuing in where we left off last week, 2. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 3. And we've got a couple nuggets here that are real key and really essential for you. Hallelujah. Starting in verse number 2, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. And this is Paul's letters, Paul's profession. And he goes on to say, God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to the previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, has revealed it to his holy apostles and his prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Say riches.
Riches.
Inherited by God's children.
Inherited by God's children.
God has made you an heir. You're an heir to every promise that Abraham received. Say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
You're an heir. Okay? Riches inherited. Now when we're in church, that's the one place people don't want to talk about riches. Christian people almost ain't supposed to have no resources, no funds, no funding, no money. You're supposed to be broke, Pastor. So you're supposed to be humble. And if you ain't got nothing, it'll keep you humble. Don't you know the devil is a liar and the truth ain't in him?
Amen.
The devil's a liar and so is his mother-in-law.
Amen.
Huh? His whole family ain't nothing but liars, amen, thieves, and crooks.
Yeah.
Huh? And he'll have you deceived thinking that you don't deserve anything, therefore you will not inherit your promises. And these promises you inherit, say, by faith.
By faith.
This is how you get access to them. See? I can have an inheritance for you that I leave you in the earth. Have your name assigned to it. Have it already signed and documented at the law, at the attorney's office. That at my demise, at my leaving this earth, that you actually have $50,000 that comes to you because I willed it to you. But if you know it exists, but make no effort to believe that that is real, to even go and ask or inquire about it, guess what you'll go without? $50,000. Well, what did Christ die to give you? Life, and life more abundantly, more than enough. Ephesians 3 and 20. Huh? Exceedingly, abundantly, more than you could ever ask for or even think. that you deserve. It's not because you deserve it. God did not bless Abraham because Abraham was so deserving. He blessed Abraham because he liked Abraham, because Abraham believed him and trusted him. See? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness' sake. And verse number 5 says this, both are of the same body. Both enjoy the promises of the blessings because they belong to Christ. Say enjoy. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. Are you enjoying this life of blessing that you have? Or are you in depression? Are you still living in fear? Are you still worried about every little thing that happens on the news? You still worried about every time somebody don't treat you fair? Are you still worried on behalf of somebody else that don't need you worrying about them? See? Did Jesus say, now consider the lilies of the field, how they neither toil nor spin, that God, he takes care of these things. He feeds the birds of the air. He said, why do you worry? Take no thought. Why do you worry about these things? This is just the stuff that the Gentiles seek after. But if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, won't all these things be added unto you? But you can't be in fear. This is the year of faith proclaimed by the pastor of New Seed Ministry. The year of faith and the year not to fear. We're not going to be afraid. Root it out in all of its forms. Root out the smallest fear. You're not going to die but live. You're not going to get sick ever again, but you will be healthy. You will be healthy. You will not get sick ever again. You will be restored. You will not lose your mind, but you have a mind that is stayed on Jesus. Your mind is full of peace. Your life is calm. All storms pass over. Receive your promises. You're the child of the Most High God. This is your life. This is your season. Enjoy your life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do not lean unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. And you continue to live in joy and in peace, in happiness, in prosperity. Everything good. Everything good. Say everything good.
Everything.
It belongs to me.
It belongs to
everything
me.
Good.
Everything.
Added unto me.
Added unto
hallelujah. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3, please. I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. Hallelujah. It says this, starting in verse number 21. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 21. Does the law disagree with God's promises? Paul says, no, it doesn't. If any law could give life to us, we could become acceptable to God by obeying the law. But the scripture says that sin controls everyone, so that God's promises will be for anyone who has faith in Jesus Christ. Say, I'm an overcomer.
I'm an overcomer.
See, if you decide to live a life of faith, you've just overcome the world. You've just overcome sin and all of its attacks and all of its toxins and all of its poisons and all of its vexations and all of its torment. Don't you know sin has torment?
Yeah.
Huh? The devil ain't nothing but a tormenting spirit. But he can't torment you if you're living the life of faith as unto Christ. Not because you're perfect, but because you're chosen.
Yeah.
See? Not because you're perfect, but because of grace. Mm-hmm. For it's by grace that you're saved through faith. It is a gift from who?
God.
God, that you received his grace. You didn't earn it. I don't care how rich you are. You can't afford it. If God say you ain't getting into the kingdom of heaven because of your lifestyle and you're fearing and you're unbelieving, guess who ain't getting in? I don't care if you go write an offering to Lakewood Church for $500,000. You ain't getting in by your works. You can't buy your way into heaven. You got to say yes like everybody else. Father, I repent. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm humbled as a little child. I can't do this on my own. I'm tired of struggling in my own flesh. I'm tired of doing it my way. This is too hard. See? Holy Spirit, help me out. Lead me and guide me in the whole truth. Order my steps today, Lord. Order my steps. Verse 23 says, the law controlled us and kept us under his power until the time came when we would have what? Faith. Okay? I just didn't have faith. I was out there doing stuff, throwing mud up on the wall to see what sticks. Living trial and error. Going something real hard for a while, see if it pan out. If it don't pan out, I go to something else. And then try something else. Try something else. And you look over a period of time, my goodness, where the results at? None. Still broke. None. Still got bad credit. See? They used to call me on the phone because they knew I was a sucker. And asked me to refinance my mortgage because they would give me money for refinancing. Man, that sounds like a good thing. I can get money just for letting you refinance my house? Wow. But Satan had blinded the eyes. I couldn't see what would happen if I kept doing that. And you end up with negative equity. And if you ever try to sell that house, you have to bring so much money to the table, you may as well stay there. You ain't getting out. Because they got you in debtor's prison. Because you refinanced the house all those times. You took that $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $15,000 and you went and had a party with it. See? Because you were deceived. Deceived. And it took me a while. And I had to ask God for wisdom. So the next time they called me, I had to have the faith to resist. I used to jump cell companies. They used to call me. I was with Verizon here, and then I ended up with that one over there because everybody had a new deal. Yeah. Everybody always had a new deal. I just kept jumping and jumping and jumping. And I look up, why don't I have no credit? Changing jobs. Work over here for 6 months. Work over here for 6 months. Want to go buy something? Can't get nothing. Well, you need to have a pattern. You need to stay at least a year. You keep changing jobs every 3 months, every 4 months, every 6 months. Who are you? Are you schizo? I was all over the place. I said, man, I can't quit this time. I got to stay past 6 months. I got to stay past 1 year. And after about a year, year and a half, 2 years, I began to see why. And I was so glad I did because the blessings and the prosperity started to flow because of my continual sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping, sowing and reaping. Then I started to harvest better deals, better money, better prosperity, better promotion. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because I wasn't living uncontrolled. Verse number 24. In fact, the law was our teacher. It was supposed to teach us until we had the faith and were acceptable to God. See, the law, one thing that the law does, when you're unsaved and you live under the law and you have a job and you have all these mentors and these rulers, these things that govern you that make you come to work, what it does, it gives you discipline and it brings you structure. But at the point that you begin to use your faith and you become mature, say, no alarm clock has to wake me up anymore. I get up on my own. When I became a business owner, a new discipline came to me like never before. Because if this doesn't work, I'm going to lose everything I got. And while I didn't have much, I couldn't afford to lose that. And so, by using my faith and becoming disciplined and allowing the laws of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus to help me structure and discipline my flesh, I'd say no to some stuff. I can't be drinking at night. I think I'm going to wake up in the morning. I can't be staying up at all hours on the phone or out and about. No, I got to have a plan for tomorrow because I got to grow up with the quickness.
Yeah.
See, I have some wolves barking down my door. I have some things that if this don't come to pass, oh my goodness. See, and I dropped the ball one time. I got garnished one time. Oh Lord, have you ever gone to your account and been missing a few thousand dollars? Huh? Do you hear what I'm saying? That'll discipline you forever. I shouldn't have never got into that deal, that contract, but I did it, and I learned from it, and I talked to the Lord about it later. He said, now, buy yourself some grace. Do it the way I tell you. You can avoid all that. Live by faith. Trust my voice. When I tell you something, do it. If I tell you that ain't it, don't do it. Take at least 3 days. before you commit to something major. At least 3 days. See? Always follow peace. Peace and agreement. Now, the agreement comes if you're in relationship with somebody. Okay? If you're in relationship with somebody and they got rights to what you're about to do, and if it screws up, it's going to fall on them, not just on you, you got to get agreement. If you don't have agreement, you can't go. You got to discipline your flesh. You got to wait on the Lord and be of good courage and talk him into it. Or let them talk you out of it. Either one. But if it's just you, you still have to have an inner peace.
Yeah.
If you can't find peace and something is telling me, you ever had that voice say, something told me I shouldn't have done that. But in hindsight, it's too late. Because now you got the next 3 or 4 years to be dealing with this third party that you shouldn't have never signed up with. Huh? Verse number 25 said, but once a person has learned to have faith, there is no more need to have the law as your teacher. Once you've proven to be responsible with this word that God has given you, with this life that God has given you, with this family that God has given you, with this husband that God has given you, with these children God has given you, with this job that you prayed for and asked God to give you. He did not give you that job for you to go over there complaining.
That's right.
You come home complaining every single day about this job that you prayed for when you were unemployed with no money coming in. And right now it's your only source of income. You need to shut your mouth, quit murmuring and complaining, lest something worse happen and you be back unemployed where you started, begging God for another opportunity. Watch yourself. About your wife, about your husband, about your children. Stop complaining. Be a good finder. Find something good to speak of them on. Ain't nobody done all bad to you. There's got to be something good they did. Otherwise, why would you get with them in the first place? Think on something good. Find yourself going back to that place where you had mutual respect and admiration for one another. See, you extend the olive branch. You draw them back in with your loving, with your kind words, with your generosity, with this anointing that Christ died to give you. And save your relationships. Hallelujah. Save your children. They're your kids. And verse 26 said, all of you were God's children because of what? Your faith in Christ Jesus. See, this is the active church. This is what he's talking to, the church. Those that come to Bible study, those that attend Sunday morning services, those that volunteer for the ministries of helps, those of you that are God's children. And when you were baptized, it was as though he had put Christ in the same way you put on new clothes. Let me read that again. Apparently I left out a word. And when you were baptized, verse 27, it was as if you had put on Christ in the same way that you put on new clothes. See? You're in Christ. But he's also in you. And now you have become one with the Father through the Son. Jesus said, my Father and I, we're one. I only do the will of my Father. His Father didn't come send him here to sin, but he sent him here to overcome sin and to give you the power and the authority to overcome sin. Verse 28, faith in Christ Jesus is what makes each of you equal with each other, whether you are a Jew or a Greek, a slave or a free person, a man or a woman. So if you belong to Christ, you are now part of Abraham's seed. You will be given what God has promised you. Are you getting this? You're Abraham's seed. You're in the family of God. None of you was any better than another. So stop it. Stop the comparing. I was in a church service one night on a Wednesday night, some conference. You know, this church right here, people used to love to dress up. It was almost expected of them. So they would come fly, man, dressed. You know, a black church, you just dressed up. And this one woman, her husband came in, and she was dressed in this gorgeous dress, you know, very fashionable. And another woman came in with her husband and looked up, saw that woman's dress. They had on the same dress. That woman walked out of that church, went back to the hotel, changed her clothes, and came back to church. You see how you get carried away? Yeah, I just find another place to sit. That's the flesh in operation. Are you coming to be seen, or are you coming to receive a word from the Lord? See? Don't come to be seen. Come to sow. Come to sow worship. Come to fellowship. Come to give somebody something. If you just happen to have on the same outfit, say, praise the Lord, great minds think alike. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 9. Romans chapter number 9. Starting in verse number 1. With Christ as my witness, Paul says, I speak with utter truthfulness. My conscience of the Holy Spirit confirm it. My heart be filled with bitterness and sorrow. I'm not going to read that. We're going to pass on that. We covered that on Sunday. And that's not going to take us where we need to go. So we're going to go on to our next place. And our next place is children of Abraham's promise. Found in Genesis chapter number 17. Children of Abraham's promise. Say, I'm a child. Of Abraham's promise. I hope you're ready then, because here it comes. If you're in Genesis chapter number 17, we're going to start reading in verse number 2, and I'm reading from the Contemporary English Version. King James, if that works for you, praise the Lord, thee though thou wherefore art thereunto. If you like the NIV or the New King James, great. I suggest as you study, use your virtual Bible, use your internet, and switch back and forth, get more revelation. Okay, I'm going to give you what I got for you, but you make it easy on yourself since you don't read the King James English very much because you don't talk it. All right, so verse number 2 says, I will keep my solemn promise to you and give you more descendants than can be counted. Now, God is talking to Abraham. So Abraham bowed his face to the ground, and God said to him, I promise that you will be the father of many nations. That's why I now change your name from Abram to Abraham. I will give you a lot of descendants. And in the future, they will become great nations, and some of them will even become kings. I will always keep my promises that I've made with you and your descendants. Because I am your God and their God. And I will give you, in verse 6, and them the land which you are now a foreigner in. I will give you the whole land of Canaan to your family forever. I will be their God. Abraham, you and all of your future members of your family must promise me. Must promise you. Now let's go back. Let's go back. Now, what are these promises that God just gave Abraham? What are they? Number one, like we read in Jeremiah 11, what did he say? I know the plans I think toward you, to do you good and not evil all the days of your life. That's his promise. So when God speaks over you, just like he spoke to Abraham, he's speaking to you, I will keep my promise to you. Number one. And God's not a man. He can't lie. He couldn't even conceive to conjure up a lie. It's not in his nature. He don't have a nature. He's supernatural. He's God. He said, I will give you more descendants than can be counted. And this was his promise to Abraham. And Abraham believed God. It was counted him for righteousness after they got past the Ishmael debacle, after they got done with Hagar and all that mess we talked about on Sunday. Okay? So Abraham bowed his face to the ground, and then the Lord spoke another promise to him. I promise that you will be the father of many nations. See? You'll be the mother of many nations. Now, how many genealogies can God bring from you? Those of you that have children and desire to have children, your children will have children. Their children will have children. Their children's children will have children. Do you see that? It is a promise from God. This is how we know abortion is from the devil.
That's right.
See? Abortion is not of God. Abortion is a deception to keep prophets and priests and evangelists and men and women of God, children of God, from being birthed in the earth, snatch their life. That's what King Herod tried to do when he tried to kill Jesus. That's what the Pharaoh tried to do when he tried to kill Moses. Huh? Every child of 2 years and under, kill them all. I'm looking for one promised child. And thousands of children got slaughtered. Abortion is the same thing. The enemy's talking to this woman, telling her, you got the right to choose. That's your body. Can't nobody tell you what to do. You ain't got to listen to God. That's just religion. But he don't tell you about that post-depression. Every time you see an infant and a child the rest of your life, you think about the one you could have. You think about the one that should have been yours. And your heart melts. And you weep and you mourn. God can heal you.
Yes.
God can deliver you from that. It was the prince and the power of the air that caused that in the first place. There is no condemnation for you. He is the healer. And he will take the sting of that out of your heart, out of your life. Number three. That is why I change your name. I change your name. And back to number two. When he said you'll be the father of many nations, God will cause you to be respected and honored. Okay? God will cause you to be respected and honored. Number three. This is why I changed your name from Abram to Abraham. God will give you a name distinction. God wants to set you apart from everybody else in the world. Your name is special. Whatever he calls you, that is your name. Now, my name personally has been changed in my lifetime. Growing up as a child, my nickname was Chris. My whole name was Christopher. My first name was Adam. So I went from Chris to I got to college. They said to me, everything that you sign from now on out, we need you to sign it, first name, middle initial, last name. Or first name, middle name, last name. So I had to be converted. So I went from Chris to Adam, right? And it was a transition. I said, I may as well take advantage of it. Whatever Chris used to get into that people would know of, in this new name, I ain't doing that no more. So in case you're looking for me, you ain't going to find me. You have to see me to call me Chris. You go searching me on Facebook looking for Chris, you don't find him.
Amen.
You hear what I'm saying? And old things have passed away, thank God. Behold, everything became new. See? But God will give you a name of distinction. Number four, I will give you a lot of descendants, people for your family, love, and relationships. Anytime you see descendants, you see family. God puts you in relationships. God don't want to isolate you. He don't want you out there by yourself, talking to yourself. At least the devil show up and help you, Hagar. Huh? Go over there and deceive you and put all kinds of weird thoughts in your head. And you come back acting all strange. Well, what just happened to you? It's another spirit. And in the future, they will become great nations. Some of them will even become kings. Some of your children, your offspring, your grandchildren, some of them will become millionaires. Do you receive that? Is it possible?
Yeah.
See? See? But you have to teach them this word. You have to introduce them to the Most High God. You have to get them adopted into the family so you can get this blessing on their life. Number five, I will keep the promise that I made to you and to your descendants because I am your God and I am their God. His whole goal is to have godly offspring.
Amen.
He wants godly offspring. That's why he hates divorce. If you get divorced, if you get in contention and strife, you bicker, you fight all the time. Your children are looking at you saying, why y'all so crazy? You just came from church. You're going back on Wednesday. We do it all the time. Y'all home fighting all the time. Are y'all going to get a divorce? Are y'all going to break up? Because if you do, I ain't serving God. Because God, I know, won't act like this. Well, you ain't got no self-control. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, goodness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control. For against us there is no law. You do this stuff by faith. The just shall live by faith, Hebrews 10:38. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We do our relationships by faith. We love by faith. We forgive by faith. But you forgive. You let it go. You love unconditionally. You don't just love when they're doing right. You love when they ain't doing right. See? If you can forgive your children, you can surely forgive your spouse. Because them children are going to go up and leave you. Your spouse was assigned to you. How long? Forever and ever and ever. To life. Life partner. Goes on to say number six, verse number 8 says, I will give you and them the land in which you are now a foreigner. I will give the whole land of Canaan to your family forever. I will be their God. God wants to give you lands. God wants to give you homes,
yeah.
Houses, not an apartment. You can't rent forever. You got to take ownership. Use your faith. Buy it so you can sell it and you can buy another one. Land. How much land do you want? Well, look, Abraham, open up your eyes. Look northward. Look southward. Look eastward. Look westward. As far as the eyes can see. I have already given you the land. Somebody say the lands.
The land.
You're an heir. You ought to own something. This is about possession. See? And when you own something, it changes the way you live. It matures you. It keeps you from living under the law. You know you got to live by faith right now. Because this right here, this is expensive. This cost me something. This cost me some blood, sweat, some tears. This cost me some faith. So I can't get out of order now because I ain't going back to poverty ever again. I'm not going back to struggle or famine. I'm not going to live like mom and them. I will never have cockroaches in my house. And I ain't going to have no ants running back and forth either. And I ain't going to be living beside no crazy neighbors my whole life either. They get to acting up, I'm moving. I'm going to pray them out, whichever one's the most expedient to do. Can I get an amen? Turn to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and starting in verse number 3, it says, for the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Because, see, in verse 9 in the chapter we just left, it said, Abraham, you and all of your future members of your family must promise to obey me, must promise to believe me. So Abraham, in Romans 4 and 3, believed God, and it was accounted him for righteousness because of his faith. In verse number 17, the same chapter says that this is what the scripture means when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed God, or believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. God is supernatural. God can take what you say is nothing and turn it into something. He can take that dead relationship and breathe life into it all over again. You hear what I'm saying? He can take that empty bank account and start to fill it up and overflow it. Galatians 3 and 6 said, in the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. So if you live by faith, pray in faith, hope in faith, act in faith, love in faith, God says you're righteous. And all those promises that Abraham had, you being the heir and joint heir through Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, it's now yours. You access it, you receive it, and no matter what message we go to after this, you know you got to keep this thing active. Because James chapter number 2 and 23 says again, and so it happened, just as the scripture said. Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called a friend of God. So you stay faithful with God. God said, now I know I trust you. I call you my friend. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter 3, and I'm reading this, which is very familiar. I'll be reading it from the Message version so we can put some spice on it. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse number 5, says this: trust in God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do and in everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So you don't have to do this by yourself. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your bones will be vibrant with life. Honor God with everything that you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst with wine. Your vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child that he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all of this. The father's delight is behind all of this. Now, we've been teaching on the Father since Father's Day. We're still talking about the same one, that is God, our Heavenly Father. And because he loves you, sometimes you need a spanking. Sometimes you need a pat on your behind. Sometimes you need a slap on your wrist. Sometimes you need one of them grandma switches. Because if it takes that to get you in order, this is what God will do. Some people don't believe in corporal punishment. If you don't believe in corporal punishment, great. You discipline your children at home. Because if you don't discipline them at home and they don't respect you and they go to school, don't respect the teacher, they go to the principal's office, they don't respect the principal, they put them out of school. They used to have something called reform school. Or they don't respect the judges. Now your child's going to prison. And he's going to live under the law the rest of his life. His rights to faith have been taken away unless he makes his life right with Christ. See? God will correct you. It never has to go that extreme. No one never needs to get shot for being somewhere, whatever, whatever, whatever. But if you were probably in the place that the Lord told you to go first, you probably wouldn't have been there. God ain't never told none of us to stay out to 2 and 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And to be on that side of town, over there getting into mischief. Yeah, we're in America. You're free. You got the right to choose. You can go anywhere you want to go, how you want to do it, stay as long as you want. Ain't nobody home. You ain't got no curfew. That's all great. But if you don't have no discipline, and something bad happened to you, who fault was it? And the Lord can use certain things to chasten us, to correct us, to spank us, to get us back on course. And guess what? You come back humble. You come back with this attitude, I'll never do that again. Okay? And that's not his first plan. His first plan is that you submit yourself to the Almighty God and believe him and trust in him. And when you do, don't try to figure it out. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere that you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will be vibrant with life. Honor God with everything that you own. Give him the first and the best, and your barns will burst with wines, and your vats will brim over. In other words, God will make you prosperous. See, we're not just serving God for religion's sake. We're serving God because we want to know what his plan is, what his will is for his children. He's given us a promise. He's given us a hope. He's given us a future. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I'm going to read one last time. Jeremiah 29 and 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for evil, not for disaster. No harm shall come near you. No plague shall come near your dwelling place. You will live a long and prosperous life. Your relationship shall be restored. Your mind will always be at peace. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. I've called you to be the head and not the tail. I've called you to be a lender and not a borrower. I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. I've called you to be a soul winner. I have called you to myself. I've caused you to live in my image and after my likeness. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, he created them. This is who you are. You're a child of the Most High God. See? So back to the very beginning. Am I a child of promise? You make your mind up. But if you're going to be this child and you want these promises, constantly seek God with your time. Seek after him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make time to get around the people of God. They don't think like worldly people. Now be careful of the religious sect that all they want to do is go to church. We're not asking you to do that. We want you to take this faith and implement it into your life so that you become the image of Christ in the earth, in your family, and in the culture. See? Be concerned about others. Be compassionate about the lives and the well-being of your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. See? Love your neighbor, your black neighbor, your white neighbor, huh? Love your neighbor, your Indian neighbor, your Hindu neighbor. Love your neighbor, your Jewish neighbor. See? Be kind to all. Become a student of the Father's book. Joshua chapter 1. If thou shalt meditate on the word day and night, observing to do according to all that is written in it, you will make your way prosperous. You shall have good success. See? Become a student of the word. Become a student of the Father's book. And lastly, enthusiastically support the ministry that you're a part of with your attendance, with your volunteerism, your helps. Find something to do. Put your hand to it. Come and serve the people of God like you go to work on Monday. Come to help. Come to go to work. And lastly, support the ministry with your finances. This is how the kingdom of God operates. Do you get the point? Are you a child of the promise?
Yes.
Are you a child of the promise?
Yes.
Are you a child of the promise?
Yes.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for a word on tonight, Lord God. I have simply given them, these your people, that which you have given me for them, God. And now I pray over them, God. Father, we seal this word. Father, we seal it that no weapon formed against them shall prosper. God, that nothing can pluck it up out of their hearts, Lord God. Satan, we bind you right now in the name of Jesus. All of your schemes, your tricks, we bind you, your deception, your lies, we bind you, you thief and a robber. And we take full authority over you by the power of Jesus' name and by the blood of Jesus in a new and a living way. We declare Jesus to be Lord in their lives. Pray with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive this promise that you've given to me. I take advantage of this covenant relationship that we have. Thank you for loving me. I love you too. I need you in my life, and I will not turn back. I've come too far to turn back now. I want everything that pertains to life and godly living. Hallelujah. And I repent for any sin in my life. I am not a sinner. I am a child of promise. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am delivered from the bondage of sin. I am a child of the Most High God. I am not a sinner. I've been delivered. I've been set free. And I've been made new. And old things have passed away. Now all things have become new. Because I'm living by faith. I'm trusting you with my faith. I'm trusting you, Lord God, to help me with my family, with my finances, with my relationship, with my employment, with my business life. I'm trusting in you, Lord God. And if you chasing me, God, I won't run away from you. I'll receive my correction like a good soldier, and I will fall back in line and do what you call me to do. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for keeping me. And when I lie down tonight, my sleep shall be sweet in the name of Jesus. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Ooh, I feel the anointing. I feel the anointing. God, we thank you for the anointing on tonight, God. Father, the